Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV every week at this time, bringing you the big conversation, bringing you the great debate on the issues of the hour. But it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208-601-4555. And if you get through and you're on the show, make sure the volume on your TV set is down at zero, or no one will hear either of us. Or you can SMS the show on 4478-00-8066 or email us at comment@presstv.co.uk. The longest-running dictator in the Arab world, Ali Abdullah Saleh, has murdered 70 people this week, many of them outside the house of a very dear friend of mine. The murder rate is rising in Yemen, even as the so-called Persian Gulf Cooperation Council lobbies and puts forward formulae after formulae for the departure of the dictator. He humiliates them, but they keep coming back for more. Because, of course, this so-called Persian Gulf Cooperation Council is very concerned about democracy, isn't it? Like in Bahrain, where they have actually invaded and now occupy Bahrain in order to suppress, to crush, and yes, to kill the fight for freedom and democracy in that tiny little country, which is ruled by a brute autocracy, backed by Britain, as we saw last week at exactly this time, when David Cameron stepped out into the sunshine outside number 10 Downing Street to warmly shake by the hand the Crown Prince of Bahrain, whose family are wanted for murder and accused of crimes against humanity. Not only that, we learn today that Britain's relations with Saudi Arabia are pretty warm still too, and that is impacting on Bahrain. Why? Because the Saudi forces now occupying Bahrain to kill the democracy protesters were, it is conceded by the British Ministry of Defence today, almost certainly trained by the British Army, stationed secretly in Saudi Arabia, in the Holy Land of Arabia. We have what's called in the Daily Telegraph today a large and secret British armed force, which is training the Saudi soldiers now killing in Bahrain. I remind you out there that it's not for nothing that my old grandfather, when I told them that the teacher had told me that Britain had an empire so vast that upon it the sun never set, my old Irish grandfather answered, "That's because God would never trust the British in the dark." And may I remind our friends at Ofcom, who are, of course, watching this program closely, watching my lips move and waiting to hear what I'm going to say next. My dear friends at Ofcom, in case you didn't know, Britain is actually bombing Libya, increasingly savagely, killing people in Libya in the name of freedom and democracy, in the name of freedom of speech, in the name of freedom of opinion, of assembly, of political freedom, of pluralism. Do you get my drift, Mr. Ofcom, the independent regulator of the British TV and radio industry? Well, we'll see just how independent they are over the next few weeks, I have no doubt. But one thing is beyond doubt. It is that the British state is trying to close Press TV down, in the interests, of course, of liberty, freedom, and freedom of speech. You see, you're allowed to have freedom of speech in this country of ours, as long as the speech that you're freely speaking meets the tests of the rulers of the country. We'll see in the next few weeks just what Ofcom does next. But we already know from the Sunday Times, the sewer of choice of British state officials in a quotation from what they described as a high British official that if he had his way, he'd close Press TV down. We also know, thanks to Julian Assange and the WikiLeaks cable that he brought to our attention and which is published, of a conversation between an American official and a British official about how they might construct a case to close Press TV down. And we know that in the most bizarre piece of business for a bank in the stricken financial circumstances in which British banks find themselves, the British bank which closed the account without warning of Press TV, even though it had a very, very large sum of money in it, and even though the account had been conducted impeccably, it was closed without notice, plunging the station into all sorts of temporary difficulties, now resolved. We know, and we're not paranoid, that they, at least, are out to get us. Well, we'll see how that story pans out. These are my personal views. They're not Press TV's views, and they're definitely not the views of any government in the world. Moreover, if you have a different point of view, your view is especially welcome and will be prioritized. Even if Mr. Ofcom would like to call me up, we could maybe have a debate about super injunctions, which the Prime Minister found unconscionable, which our parliamentarians found unconscionable. We can't have the truth being suppressed. We can't have facts being suppressed by fiat of judges, because we in this country believe in freedom of speech, except if it's Press TV exercising its right to freedom of speech. If I sound angry, that's because I am. Let me talk to Salif in London on Bahrain and Yemen. Salif, welcome to the show, my friend. Yes, Salif?
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. The blood's coursing through my veins now. So please go ahead.
my comment is, first of all, what happened, example, in this Arabic country. The Arabic country, they are very, very hypocrite. Example like what happened in Yemen. How example, the military there, how example, someone give you gun, you go to kill your own mother, own brother, own sister. You have to first kill him before you kill someone. Because the Yemen president, everybody know he's wicked man. You know, everybody know that he no have nothing in the head. And now that's why I'm blamed for the military, for this, the support, the military, why they support him. I don't know why they support him. And first of all, what happened in example in Bahrain. And everybody, you know, now the Arabic country, including these Saudi people, they are very, very, the government, I cannot say everybody, but the government, the king, they are very, very, very hypocrite. They don't know Allah.
Well, they're the king of the hypocrites. As anyone who knows anything about the royal rulers of so-called Saudi Arabia, are the ultimate in hypocrites. But I must tell you something. In my experience, the people of Arabia, the people who have the misfortune to live under this royal dictatorship, are the finest people I've ever met anywhere. Genuine, sincere Muslim people who hate the fact that their country has been turned into the kind of place that under the royal dictatorship it is today. And as to why the Yemen military continue to murder people at the president's behest, I'm afraid the answer is money. Saudi money. That's the truth of the matter. Let's stay in London. Talk to Tony on Bahrain. Tony, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, Tony. Hello, George.
Yes, very nice to hear from you again. Go on.
Yeah, George, don't worry about, you know, the closing press. They will never. We will move in our thousands. We're not going to let freedom of speech, which our forefathers fought so hard over.
Exactly, here. Exactly. My grandfathers
pen,
both.
At the stroke of a pen, trying to destroy what our forefathers fought for.
Except my grandfathers both risked their lives to defend freedom and liberty in this country in the Second World War. We're not going to let it go into the good night quietly, that's for sure. Go on, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something, George.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, you know, about the Middle East problem. Now, I begin to feel, you know, Zionism has, I think, hijacked the good name of the Jewish people, whom we've come to love, respect, admire over the years for their contribution to, you know, politics, Karl Marx, science, the arts.
Science, culture.
Zionism,
yeah, absolutely.
The Zionists over the years have deceitfully and skillfully hoodwinked, manipulated the Christian South of the United States of America to form an unholy alliance in the name of Jesus, the Holy Land, blah, blah, blah. And of course, they use the Holocaust to get American sympathy and financial and military assistance. Now, we know what's been going on. They get all the resolution they defied because they get this backing from the United States of America. But let me remind America, don't be hoodwinked by Zionist greed, troublemaking, and arrogance.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tony. I saw the book. I was in Beirut this morning, flew back to London. I was in the bookshop there, a very good one, at the airport in Beirut. And I saw Finkelstein's epic work, the Holocaust Industry, in which he has updated the case that the memory of the millions who were slaughtered in the Holocaust are abused by the Zionist leadership. And it is indeed a sorry business. And of course, it is an unholy alliance that you describe, because these Christian fundamentalists, there's one thing you can be absolutely sure about, is that they have no love for Jews. They want to support Israel because they want to bring about the end of the world. Like the foolish man last week who predicted that we wouldn't be here this week because we'd all have gone up in a puff of smoke at 6 p.m. exactly last Saturday evening. But I tell you what, Tony, that alliance is not much longer for this political world, because more and more people in the United States can see through it. In fact, the Congress of the United States, in their hundreds, who rose more than 40 times to give standing ovations to an international lawbreaker as he boasted about his international lawbreaking and boasted about his determination never to undo his international lawbreaking, are probably the only convocation of 100 or 200, 300 people that you could have found anywhere in the world that would have stood up and applauded that kind of stuff. Thanks, Tony. Let's stay in the United Kingdom, talk to Abu Bakr about my friends at Ofcom. Abu Bakr, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, Assalamu Alaikum.
Alaikum Salam.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much to get the opportunity to talk to you today.
Welcome.
And may Allah bless you. And I wish to get somebody like you, two or three of you, and I think everything will be okay for the mankind.
Thank you. That's a very kind thing.
Originally, I come from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And we are suffering too much about what is going on in the world. And I think sometimes we have to blame ourselves first before to blame other people, you know. Because first of all, to close this channel, it's only the channel I'm watching every time, because other channels are almost gone. They are all corrupt because nobody will tell the truth what is going on.
Well, the thing is, Abu Bakr, let's have a thousand flowers blooming. I mean, Fox News is pumping out right-wing, racist, Islamophobic propaganda under the aegis of Ofcom all day and every day. Fine. Let them do so. And anyone foolish enough to want to watch Fox News is welcome to it. But why should those who want a different perspective and who come to Press TV in their overwhelming numbers now, more and more, why shouldn't they have the right to freely speak and listen to Abu Bakr? Great call. Armando in London on the same subject, Ofcom. Armando, welcome to the show, my friend. Yes, go ahead.
George, you just nailed it. I mean, Islamophobia with the Ofcom is really overwhelming. Because if you were talking about Islamic phobia or saying something that it shouldn't be said in the domain public, they should ban all the Fox News and all the other channels, because this is simply unacceptable. And I believe that Press TV has enough stamina, enough resources to fight this one-sided ruling.
Well, that's very good of you, Armando, and I really feel that that will be the attitude of most fair-minded people in Britain, whether they are friends of ours or not. The reality is that the BBC itself was attacked this week for not a 10-second news interview that hardly anybody saw, about somebody that hardly anybody knew until Ofcom began investigating his complaint. No. The BBC stands accused this week of decade after decade after decade of anti-Palestinian bias in its output. And nobody in Ofcom would dream of doing anything about it. I say, let a thousand flowers bloom. What's wrong with that? Isn't that the British way? Kiani is in Oxford on Bahrain. Kiani, welcome to the show, my friend. Kiani, welcome. Well, he wanted to talk about Bahrain, but I'm afraid we've lost him. We're talking about Bahrain, we're talking about Yemen, and we're talking about Ofcom, and overarchingly, the definite determination of sections of the British state to close us down, or at least close us down operating from Britain. I can assure you they won't be closing us down. We'll never close down. Kiani is on the line now in Oxford. Kiani, welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, hello. Good evening, George.
Good evening to you, sir. Glad to have you join us. What would you like to say?
Talking about the general situation in Middle East and particularly the Bahrain.
Yes, go ahead.
It's a very, very sad story that no one is exposing the atrocities in Bahrain apart from the Press TV. Sadly, Al Jazeera is keeping his mouth shut, BBC and other big channels as well. I admire the independent, loving people of Bahrain and their courage in this extreme hardship they are enduring at this moment. But the fact of the matter is, George, as you know very well, as a very learned person, that the number of traitors the Muslim world is producing is like on the production line. The number of people who are protecting the interest of these oppressive powers, we have to get rid of these people first before we head on the right road of the dignity and the independence.
Well, Kiani, two down and quite a few to go, but quite a few underway, really. So I take your point. There has been treason, but that treason is entering its end game. And the production line that we really have to keep our eye on now is the production line of young Muslims, young Arabs all over the world who are determined that dictatorship, autocracy, and intolerance, and bigotry, and Islamophobia, and racism, and occupation, and war must be struggled against unrelentingly. That's what I've done with my life. And believe me, nothing makes me more proud than to see new generations coming onto the field. In Beirut yesterday, I visited the hospital bedside of a young man called Munib al-Masri. He's the grandson of one of the richest men in the world. He had everything. He could have lived the life of absolute luxury. But he tried to re-enter his homeland of Palestine on the Lebanese border on the 15th of May with thousands of others in Lebanon, in Syria, and in Jordan, and in Gaza. Because the one thing Munib al-Masri didn't have was his country. And no matter how privileged, how gilded his youthful life, he gave his blood to try to regain Palestine. They shot him in the back, through the kidney, through the spleen, and through the spinal cord. I was there at his bedside, and I kissed his hand, and I kissed the hand of all those who showed that freedom and liberty will never die. David, in the UK, on Yemen. David, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, George, how are you doing?
Very well indeed. Go ahead, sir.
I'm just really angry about Ofcom. How dare they think yet that they can troll all the media? We need someone at Press TV to show everybody what's really going on around the world, not what BBC or Fox or whatever they want to show, that keep us all asleep, half asleep at least. If we watch this show, I mean Press TV altogether, we understand what's going on. So what we need is something like a protest against these guys. Nah, you should be leading it, since you exactly know what you're going on about everything.
Well, David, you'll have noticed, if you saw the Sunday Times, and it's worth looking up if you didn't, that our offences include saying that the royal wedding was a waste of public money. Now, as a matter of fact, I don't myself think it was a waste of public money. I think the public treasury probably benefited on balance. We were in profit on that gig in terms of Britain and its tourism and so on. But if a television station cannot broadcast someone making criticisms of the royal wedding, what kind of freedom and democracy do we have in this country? Another was that we gave coverage of the British state putting down the student demonstrators who were protesting about the tripling from 3,000 to 9,000 of their student tuition fees. Well, I suppose it turns on how you describe putting down, but when I saw the Cossacks of the Metropolitan Police on their horses charging down Victoria Street, knocking everyone before them, it looked pretty much like they were being put down to me. But then, that's just my opinion, and I'm entitled to it, and no one will ever shut me up. Anwar in London, on the same subject. Anwar, go ahead, sir.
George, assalamu alaikum, and good evening to you, my friend.
Thank you, alaikum salam, go ahead.
George, before I say anything, I want to repeat what Abu Bakr said. God bless you, and God bless Press TV.
Thank
George,
you.
A couple of things I like to say very quickly. You remember the days, George, when Tony Blair and Bush used to call their world civilized world, etc., and all in the name of democracy and freedom of speech, you have very well expressed in the very beginning of this program. And I wonder that the hypocrisy, in any dictionary of the world, George, can define the real hypocrisy of these nations, what they are doing in the world, in the name of freedom of speech, democracy, and everything as you have just explained. And I hope people take notice of that. George, how many human beings have been killed in Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, as we said, for the sake of these nations? And especially, I don't want to name those channels that I'm sure that you know and Press TV knows, who actually, Ofcom, bribe them or they bribe them, and they have melted into the same streamline, George. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Well, I'll tell you what, Anwar. Most of the television stations broadcasting under the aegis of Ofcom sing one song. It may be the right song, but it's one song. We have a different song. We have a truth that we want to speak unto the people of this country and the world. And if we're not allowed to, then what price freedom, liberty, and democracy? I'll be back right after the news in just a minute or two. I promise you, you don't want to miss the second half of comment with me, George Galloway. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway. The voice of the voiceless, Press TV, brings you this program every week at this time. It is the great debate, and so it's turning out to be again this evening. We're talking about the mass murder in Yemen. We're talking about the hand of perfidious Albion in Bahrain. The hand that shook the Crown Prince of Bahrain on the steps of Downing Street last week is revealed in that well-known revolutionary organ, the Daily Telegraph, today, as having a hand in the training of the Saudi forces who are now in occupation of Bahrain. We never knew, did we, that Britain had a large and secret military training corps in Saudi Arabia. We didn't know that, but we know it now, and moreover, we know that they are training the people now occupying Bahrain and crushing the freedom movement. And we're talking about Ofcom. Anwar earlier made a reference, I understand, I didn't catch it in the quality of the line, to some journalists being bribed. I must say, it's never been my experience that British journalists can be bribed. Indeed, as an old adage from the 1930s put it, thank God you cannot bribe or twist the average British journalist, but when you see what unbribed he'll do, you realise there's no reason to. There's no reason to bribe British journalists, Western journalists, working for the lamestream mass media, because they all face the same way, more or less, anyway. Do you remember John Pilger? Do you remember the towering John Pilger? One of the greatest journalists ever in the course of the 20th century, now into the 21st, a great tribune of the people. He used to be a mainstream journalist until his work became so powerful that it began to be shown at practically midnight on ITV and now is scarcely shown at all. One by one, independent voices. Voices that speak against the dictatorship of the prevailing orthodoxy, which Dr. Johnson described as the grimmest dictatorship of them all, are pushed out to the sidelines. Ask yourself when the last time you saw me on BBC News, and that'll tell you something. Now, Shawkat's in Manchester. He wants to talk about Ofcom. So do I. Shawkat, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, George, and nice to speak to you, George.
Thank you.
George, I'd like to ask you a few questions about Press TV and Ofcom.
Yep.
Since you are someone with vast knowledge, I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
Firstly, which group is trying behind the scenes to apply pressure for Press TV to shut down, and what are they afraid of? You know, and I feel bitterly and very angry about this episode. And what can we as viewers do to support Press TV? Thank you.
Well, Shawkat, thanks for that. I think that will be a widely felt emotion across our audience this evening. First, I want to reassure you of something. Neither Ofcom nor anyone else will close us down. They may put us off the Sky TV. You may have to look for us elsewhere. That would be a very great inconvenience to us, but it would be a mark of shame for them and would leave them across the world naked in their hypocrisy. If the British state persuades the independent regulator, and let me assume that Ofcom is the independent regulator it says it is, if it begins to sing the same song that British officials are singing in the WikiLeaks cable, in the Sunday Times last week, and in all sorts of anecdotal and coincidental occurrences, then they will stand naked before the world as hypocrites. Not democracy, but hypocrisy. Fighting, sending our young soldiers to give their life's blood in the name of freedom of speech and assembly and thought in other people's countries, whilst closing down freedom of speech, freedom of thought in our own country. Especially when, hey, we're just one station compared to the hundreds that are on the television. Fox is the one I gave as an example, owned by Mr. Murdoch, with billions of dollars at its disposal, pumping out 24/7 right-wing, reactionary, Islamophobic drivel without Ofcom doing that. Now, I'm not asking them to do anything about Fox News. I'm happy to let Fox News pump out its drivel, because only a fool would watch it. But if they come to the point where, because we criticize the royal wedding, because we perhaps exaggerated the brutality of the police that we all saw on our television sets putting down the student demonstrations, or whatever trumped up terms they intend to place on the table, then the biggest loser will be them, will be Britain and Britain's reputation in the world. And I might just raise some questions too with some of our soldiers who are being asked to go and fight and die for freedom abroad whilst it's disappearing at home. James is in London on the same subject. James, welcome to the show.
Hi there, George. Hi. And I would just like to say thank you to yourself and Press TV for allowing the whole world to actually be able to voice their views and debate these issues that no other channel in the world would let us, not even Al Jazeera, which is owned by the King of Qatar, which was created by the military of Britain. They won't even let us debate all the wider range of, array of issues that Press TV will. But when it comes down to this Ofcom issue, you see, freedom of speech and freedom of expression is like, it's in the eye of the beholder. I'll give you an example. The way that the mainstream media have made the British public think is that it was good for the oil company memos with the government and with Tony Blair prior to the Iraq War to be dubbed out and excluded from the Chilcot inquiry. Mm-hmm. This is something that the media are trying to tell the people that, you know, for your freedom of speech, we're not going to show you that the oil companies were behind the invasion of Iraq and the toppling of Saddam Hussein, who also was an ally at one time. And it goes the same thing. The current occupation inserted regime of Iraq, they sold $7 billion oil in March alone. That's on their balance sheet. Who knows how much they gave out for free or for...
And by the way, did you notice that Sir John Scarlett, the former head of MI6, has joined Tony Blair as an employee of oil companies seeking to exploit the oil resources of Iraq? And that Jeremy Greenstock, the British ambassador at the United Nations, who pushed through the war and was the biggest apologist for it in the world, against the advice of Whitehall and the civil service, has also joined the oil business in occupied Iraq. Scarlett, Greenstock, Blair, talk about a revolving door. You launch a war, you occupy a country, you quit your job in government and end up an oil executive in the country you've occupied. Makes you proud to be British, James. Let's go to Portsmouth, talk to Glenn on Ofcom. Glenn, welcome to the show, my friend. Hello, Glenn.
Oh, good evening, George.
Good evening.
May I say how inspirational, informative and helpful I've always found Press Television, and how appalled I am at the suggestion, if that is indeed what it is, by Ofcom that it should be closed down. I think it's absolutely disgusting. Press Television has performed a wonderful democratic service. It's performed a humanitarian service. It's provided a voice for the powerless, the effectively disenfranchised. And I can't think of anything more tragic than the situation that would result if it were to close down.
Thanks, Glenn. I really appreciate that. Go ahead. Glenn, did you have something else?
I only hope that this does not happen, and that something goes. If this is indeed the decision of Ofcom, and if Ofcom does have executive power in this matter, that something goes against this.
Well, of course, it's never over until it's over, Glenn. Whatever Ofcom decide to do, we'll explore every conceivable avenue that we can, legally here in Britain, legally in Europe, and in the court of public opinion to do it. But at the end of the day, if they want to destroy what remains, the tatters of Britain's reputation on these kind of subjects, they can do it. And if they do, they won't put us out of business. We'll still be talking. It'll just be slightly harder for people like you, perhaps, to watch us. Thanks for the call, Glenn. I really appreciate it. Let's talk to Lyndon in Kent on Bahrain. Lyndon, welcome to the show.
George, sir.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you very much for allowing me to talk. I would like to talk about the double standards. If you compare, for instance, the military might unleashed against Libya and the total lack of support for ordinary Bahrainis, the contrast is huge. It's absolutely worlds apart. Now, with Libya, they couldn't wait to get in and bomb the Gaddafi forces, whereas in Bahrain, they're a forgotten people in the West.
Well, we're training the people who've gone in to occupy Bahrain in order to crush the democracy demonstrations there and to kill people, trained by British soldiers. We're told by the Telegraph, Lyndon, secretly posted in Saudi Arabia. Now, I was a member of parliament for nearly 25 years. Unless this happened in the last year, I must tell you, I, along with other members of parliament, were deceived, because we were never told that Britain had a large, secret military training operation going on in Saudi Arabia. Still less that it would be training people to go and occupy other people's countries and kill them. Do you get my point, Lyndon?
Absolutely. But what is very important is what aid is given to those people in Bahrain who are presently suffering from being arrested, from being tortured. How are they surviving? Who's looking after them?
Well, nobody is. They're at the mercy, Lyndon, of a brutal foreign occupation which has been invited in by a dictatorship. Some people write to me, you know, and say it's not an occupation because the government of Bahrain invited them in. But the government of Bahrain is an absolute dictatorship which has been in power unbroken, in the case of the current prime minister, since 1960, since before the Beatles. He's been the prime minister. He invited foreigners to come and occupy his country, and we're supposed to regard that as some kind of legitimacy. Thanks for the call. Let's talk to Noreen in London on the same subject. Noreen, welcome to the show. Make sure your television's turned down now.
Yes.
Go ahead.
George, how are you?
Yes, very well, thanks.
Yes.
You have to get the volume down to zero, or we'll have to move on.
My question is about Gaza.
Yeah.
Gaza. The border of Egypt and Gaza, they have been open.
Yeah.
And why this Israel, they're worrying about this border to be open?
Well, I think, first of all, may I say, if you get through, the volume on your TV set has to be at zero or it completely ruins the conversation. Now, the decision that was announced yesterday by the military junta, which is in control of Egypt for the moment, pending the democratic elections later this year, was very welcome. it was on the face of it exactly what we have been asking for, and exactly what the vast majority of Egyptian people always wanted, which is the opening of the gate at Rafah from 9 in the morning till 9 at night, except Fridays and holidays, and free movement in and out. In the case of women, not even a visa required, or for that matter, men over the age of, I think, 44. What I wasn't clear about, and I'm not yet clear about, is if this is also free movement of goods. Because, of course, Israel's siege continues. And if there is not freedom of movement of goods and the material that's required to rebuild Gaza, then this is only a partial victory. So I'm just holding my peace on this question for the moment until further and better particulars are available. What I can tell you, Noreen, is that I have not yet been allowed to go to Cairo. Many people there are asking me why I haven't been since the revolution, and that's the answer. I'm not yet allowed to go to Cairo because, of course, the decision to declare me persona non grata by the dictator Hosni Mubarak has not yet formally been rescinded. I feel sure that it will be rescinded soon, and I'll be in Cairo just as quick as you can say Jack Robinson thereafter. But I'm not yet able to do so, and I want to. Mohammed in London wants to talk about Ofcom. Mohammed, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir.
Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Hope, I wish, you know, we wish we could see you in all the medias like BBC, CNN and all those places. People like you talking and having that real freedom of speech.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Is the freedom of speech what we are talking about here is always in the inverted commas, so-called freedom of speech. I would like to say actually a few things like, no free press, that means no freedom of speech, and that means no freedom of all the suppressed people. In fact, the old age colonial power has taken a new form, and the main actually controlling power is the controlling the media. If you can control the media, everything is happening. I would like to say only one thing, that is, instead of, you know, going and pleading against them, because we cannot gain anything out of that, can we not adopt something like B, instead of buying and using our money, all those people, rich Arab people who are in our favor, instead of buying the football team, buying the so-and-so big companies, why they are not, you know, concentrating to getting control of the media, all those things?
Well, that's a very, very, very good point, Mohammed, and one that I make all the time myself. It's cost one of the members of the Abu Dhabi royal family £1 billion in sterling to produce a not very impressive football team from the northwest of England. Think of the media that the Arab cause could have invested in with £1 billion. Alex in the UK is up next on Ofcom. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. Nice to speak to you.
Thank and you, you sir. Go ahead.
To you.
Thank you.
I want to, first of all, thank you very much for all the good work that you're doing.
Thanks.
And I think you're a very brave man. You should be the King of Scotland. I will vote for you on that one.
Thank you. I don't believe in kings or a separate Scotland, but thanks for the thought.
George, why don't we put on our press television a site, an email site, where we can all go on our computers and support a petition against Ofcom behaving in an unfair manner. We all have millions of friends all around the world, and they can also join in on this petition, and I'm sure you can get millions of people bringing up a petition that you can show to whoever you have to show to, and that would probably do a lot of good. What do you think of that?
Well, Alex, I certainly think that if Ofcom were to do the bidding of the British high officials quoted in the papers on Sunday and close us down, and that paper, by the way, appears to have had advance knowledge of a decision of Ofcom. I wonder how they managed that. Then there would be very serious consequences for civil liberties in this country, and I don't believe that the majority of the British people would accept it lying down. And certainly the political fallout for it, both here and abroad, would be very, very considerable. But most importantly, it would leave the Britain that's bombing for democracy in Libya, that's occupying for democracy in Afghanistan, looking rather shabby, don't you think? The British lion, or rather mangy one. Adam in the UK on Ofcom and Bahrain. Adam, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you very much, George. How are you?
Very well, sir. Go ahead.
Good. The international community, we preach gospel and practice virtue. We are in Libya today fighting for people to be able to speak freedom of association and governance and freedom of press. But Ofcom, which is an arm of the government and the government officials who do everything to make sure that any media organizations in UK or broadcasting within the United States and then Britain will be forced to sing or dance to their tune. However, Press TV is an independent TV station, which of course has a divergent view in terms of what they want to hear. If you will recollect, Andrew Gilligan of BBC, when he made some very important revelations about the death of Dr. Kelly, Tony Blair and his people did everything possible to get that poor guy from BBC. They got him out. So these people will do everything within their powers to make sure that the important message they are preaching around the world, just to go and take the Libyan oil and make sure that the Libyan Central Bank, which is controlled by the Libyan people, will be controlled by their bosses in the Wall Street, and then they will have access to everything in Libya. They will make sure that the views, which are very objective, will not reach to the gullible people, some gullible people in Britain that believes whatever BBC tells them, that Gaddafi is slaughtering his people, and they believe it. Let's go to Yemen. The state of Yemen, or Yemen as a country, the people said, we've had enough with our master.
Okay, Adam, great call. I couldn't put that better. I won't try. Last call from Jama in London on Ofcom. Jama, go ahead.
Hello, hi, George Kelly. How are you doing?
Very well. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it's ludicrous what Ofcom is saying, that Press TV is the light. They're telling us, you know, I mean, the whole truth, what's going on around the world. And it's just, if it wasn't, it's really ludicrous. And basically, and Yemen now at the moment, and it's killing them by the dozens. But they don't want to talk about that. And they don't want to talk about Bahrain.
No, they don't. They don't, Jama. But we are the voice of those voiceless. And we will continue to be by whatever means necessary. There isn't anyone going to shut us up. They might be able to make difficulties for us, as the bank did when it, without notice, closed our bank account. But we got through, and we will get our truth, our message through, and let people make their own judgments as to the stance that we are taking, the angle from which we are covering news and current affairs. I think it's been a cracking show tonight. I hope you agree. And if you do, then don't forget my real deal on Sunday. And God willing, I'll see you back here next week at the same time.
Yeah, I know. You'll be directly put through this. You phone number and then we'll be back. Can I have your telephone number?
So I'll then come back to you. Call you back to make sure your television volume is down to zero.